Good morning. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's a beautiful day out there. It's nice to see so many people here. There's no doubt about it. And definitely we keep going through different stages. There's no doubt about that with this COVID. The hard part is that, yes, you got to take it seriously, but yet also you still have to live your lives. And there will be a new rule coming out tomorrow, I suppose, that they could receive a $500 fine for not wearing a mask in public places. But if you actually take the time and read that, just to set people at ease, you do not have to wear them in places of assembly for religious purposes. But yet, if you feel that you want to wear one, please don't be afraid to. Just wear it. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We have no issue with it or without it. And so I just want that to be made known. The hard part for us is our governor most likely has a difficult position where she has to govern from downstate, watching everything taking place down there, and we have a tendency to forget that we don't have the numbers up here. But with that being said, next week, do as you feel. Our sermon text for this Sunday morning, let me see, which Sunday morning is it? The sixth Sunday after Pentecost, will be taken from Romans. Our sermon text will be from Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verses 1 through 11, and we're going to read this in Jesus' name. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are found in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, he condemned it in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and it is peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word. Paul penned it by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It has been spoken through his mouth, even to a scribe. Father, may you sanctify us in this truth. May we see your truth. May we see your freedom. May we see your righteousness. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with each and everyone gathered here, that you would open our ears, you would open our hearts, that we would find the consistent love you have for each and every one of us in and through this word, not by the foolishness of preaching, but rather, Father, through the power of your Spirit. We ask also that you'd be with those that are struggling, and our dear brother stands up here and he prays, but it is hard to pray for your own family, especially in a public setting. So Lord, we ask that you would be with the Antiojo family, that you continue to strengthen them and encourage them, that you give them peace and comfort, that even through these difficult times that you would bless them. And we ask that you'd be with Peter and Amy, continue to strengthen them and encourage them and provide for them. And Father, we ask also that you would continue to be with the rest of their family, as we know that life is not perfect and there are those that have struggles, whether it be health, financial, whatever it may be. We don't ask it just for the Antiojo family. We ask it for each and every one that maybe has not voiced it here in this congregation. We ask that you'd be with them, bless them, provide for them, and continue to give good health. Father, we praise and we thank you for all things, but most of all, the gift of life. Amen. I don't mean to call you out, Mark, but every Sunday you pray for my family, and I feel it an honor to pray for yours also, and anyone else. If anyone has prayer requests, just get a hold of Cheryl, probably before Sunday service, and we can write it down also. Because it is important, especially during these difficult times, to encourage and to lift. I brought my Bible up here, too, because I want to continue, really, from chapter 7. It's important that we take Scripture into context. And Paul is trying to encourage those in Rome that God sees them, God knows them, and God knows their heart above and beyond all the circumstances that are taking place in life. And Paul acknowledges that sometimes walking in the Spirit is not as easy as one would think. We have a tendency as humans to want to say, well, we could turn around and do it on our own, or maybe we can walk a little closer to the Lord if we just do the right things. But really, what Paul brings out very strongly, chapter 7, all the way from the beginning of Romans, is that the flesh fights against this. And I really love how he talks about this, because he really speaks to the fact of God understood our straits. He understood where we were. He understood the difficulty that we were going through. And so therefore, he didn't desire from us to be able to fix the problem. Rather, he gave to us the answer to our problems. Even when we look around in the day and age we live in, it's scary. It just is. But there's nothing new under the sun. Same old stuff, different day. We have to always continually remember that our hope is founded in Jesus Christ. Our hope is founded in that God sees us right where we're at. And I'm not just talking about the issue of our disease that's going on or the virus. I'm not speaking about just enough our government. I'm speaking about all other health issues. I'm speaking about our financial issues. I'm speaking about how to raise a family in such a difficult time. I'm speaking to the aspect of how do we dare come here? We come here in the confidence of Jesus Christ. We come here understanding, though the flesh is weak, the Spirit in reality is willing. And see, he opens in chapter 7 telling us that now, by the finished work of Jesus Christ, the law in reality has been fulfilled. And that's something that I want you to understand, that the law has been fulfilled. It's fulfilled for you and for me through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's really what this chapter that we are reading from today speaks of. Do you not know that you are made right before God in the finished work of Jesus Christ? That if you were to be taken from this earth today, that you have a place awaiting for you in heaven because of what Christ has done. And that's what Paul's trying to point us to. Paul says very plainly in chapter 7, I understand that it's not always easy. I understand that sometimes things get, you know, messed up in our head. He says, we know what is right. We know what is wrong. He says, but you know, the good that I would, I don't do that. But the bad that I would not, actually, that's what I do. That's what he says in chapter 7. I know what's right, but I never do it. And I know what's wrong, and that I always do. He says, in plain English, I'm nuts. As a human being, we're nuts. And then he makes a statement. He says, who is going to deliver me from this body of flesh? Who is going to be the answer and the resolve to all the struggles going on in our life? Who's going to be the answer and the resolve to, even when I know I should not fear, yet I still fear? Though I know I should not lust, yet I still lust. Though I should not be envious, I am still envious. Who is going to deliver me from this? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ. He points us to Christ Jesus. I don't know what fears you have today. I don't know what struggles you may be going through. I have enough of my own, and I'm not saying I wouldn't listen. I'm just saying I know that I have them. Some days are better than others. But the Christ Jesus is constant in his righteousness. Christ Jesus is constant in our lives. He says, who is going to deliver me from this? I thank God through Jesus Christ. that God is not holding this against us, but rather has given a righteousness for us. Man, I went a little far ahead in my thing. I don't even have to turn pages. But then he turns around and he makes a very bold statement. He says, now, because we understand that God saw our straits, because we understand that we of ourselves cannot do it, because really, we're fickle people. This flesh is constantly pulling towards us. He says, he sent a remedy. He sent Christ Jesus to come upon this earth, to live amongst us, to show us the right way. He sent Christ Jesus here to pay the penalty of sin. He says, now we understand in and through Christ Jesus there is no condemnation. God is not condemning us. The hard part is that sometimes that's sad in our thinking. We need a little bit of condemnation, maybe to get people in, maybe to bring the fear to them. But that is not the position of the church upon this earth. We are to bring the light of the gospel. We are to bring the hope of Jesus Christ to people. We are to encourage them. And for crying out loud, in a day and age that we live in, wouldn't it be fun just to go out there, and maybe not fun, but just satisfying to go out there and really tell some people off? My flesh wants to do that. Let's be honest. I've heard it on different occasions. I see people doing this and this and this, and I just want to go and do this. I'm not saying I'm any different. I'm just as guilty. But we are called to a higher calling in and through Jesus Christ, that we would still continue to exemplify, to show that light of the gospel, that no matter how dumb you are, Jesse, God loves you. No matter your foolish thoughts, God loves you. Now, when I can come to that, can I not understand that I am no different than they, except for Christ is revealed in my life? Can I not have that same hope for them? He says, we understand there is no condemnation to those that are found in Christ Jesus. There is no judgment held against them. But do they know Christ? And that's really our position here. See, I'm thinking that a majority of us here believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I believe a majority of us understand that his blood in reality paid for my debts, that I am redeemed, and that I am at peace with God because of this great gift. At the end of this text, that's exactly what he's going to tell his readers. He says, you are not in the flesh if you are found in Christ. I pray each and every one of us is found in Christ. So if we are found in Christ, are we not also his ambassadors? The example of Jesus Christ to this world. We're not to go out there and take individuals that are holding signs up and beat them over the head with a sign and throw them over a bridge, because they don't want to fund a police department. My flesh might want to do that, but I don't live according to the flesh. We pray for them. We speak to them. We encourage them that there is a better way. See, we get caught up on the external things and we lose sight of the purpose of the church. It's to enter into the world and have an impact. And sometimes it means that we need to love those that we're having such a difficult time with. He says there's no condemnation to those that are found in Christ Jesus. He says because the law of the Spirit, and see, we get so confused sometimes when we hear this word law. Now this is like a forced edict. If you look at it here, it's not. It means the working. Every time you see the law in the scripture, it doesn't necessarily mean a forced edict. In other words, now I would be a legalist in spiritual matters. And there are those. There are those that think they have to do so many things in the Spirit, change so many people in the Spirit, get Christ, bring so many people to Christ in the Spirit. Then that becomes a law of itself. That's not what Paul is saying. He says, don't you understand this? He says, now the working of the Spirit of life has set you free. The working of the Holy Spirit has made you free. When you drive by those individuals that you're having difficulty with, understand that when you go in the flesh, you want to do something else. But you're free of that in the Spirit. Lord Jesus, help me. When I turn on my TV and I watch the news and I see this or that and I become enraged and I want to go out and take it out on my wife, my family, because I'm living in paranoia and fear, that's the flesh. But the working of the Spirit brings you peace in the middle of turmoil. The working of the Spirit is exactly what allows you to walk upon those waves as Peter did with Jesus. This is who we are. No, we don't always remember it. But we honestly can take and change our direction. I've given you that example before, and maybe it's dumb to repeat it, but I'll give it to you again. If you're sitting in a rocking chair, and you're rocking your chair back and forth, and your cat happened to be under the rocking chair, and its tail was in perfect time, that when you went down, it went out, when you went up, it went in. Everything would be smooth, right? The cat wouldn't know it's going to get smushed. But if somebody goes out of rhythm, what's going to happen? The tail's going to get smushed, and what's that cat going to do? Gee whiz, that really hurts. I think you should get off me. The cat is going to howl, scream, scratch, and run because they react to what's going on around them. But I can be working with one of my holy brothers, and I can be out at Camp Lefty, and I could be swinging a hammer because, you know, our nail gun didn't work that day, and I miss, and I hit my thumb. But Arvo's standing right next to me. I can't do what the flesh wants to do. I have to say, gee whiz, that really hurts, Arvo. I got to go for a minute. Because we have the ability to stop and respond, not react. We, above all of creation, have this greatest gift. When we encounter things around us and we see things going on around us, don't think it doesn't infuriate me. And I'm not perfect in this. Don't talk to my secretary and don't talk to my wife, because they'll tell you the truth. But we need to remind ourselves we can respond. Stop. We are a light in this world. We need to encourage people around us. No, we're not going to be able to win everybody over. But it's not me operating. That's one of the things I have a difficult time with, is when you turn around and you talk to different people. In fact, I'll give another example of my great-grandfather, who was a preacher in the church years and years ago. They were sitting around talking to a bunch of guys, and they were all talking about what they've done for the Lord. And they finally came to my great-grandfather and said, what have you done for the Lord? And he looked at him and he said, I persecuted him. And that's the truth. He died for our sin. Anything that is done by these hands for the honor and glory of God is Christ Jesus in me. It's not me. I don't win a soul to anybody. But Christ wins. He wins. And so you turn around and you see, this is what he's talking about here. He says, we have the ability to understand that the Spirit of life has set you free in all circumstances. He's taken you off of the charge cart, if you could say. He says, you're set free. He says, and you're set free. The working of the Spirit has set you free, actually, from the working of death. The working of death. That's why the law word is used again there. He says, for God has done what the law could not do. Is that what that says? Does it end there? What the law could not do? No, there's a qualifier in there. Because of the weakness of the flesh. The law was perfect, holy, and righteous. But the reality of it is us that are faltered, us that are flawed. So Christ Jesus, if we could say it this way, had to come and make us worthy vessels to purify us. He says, so now, he says, for God has done what the law, by the weakness of the flesh, could not do. He sent his son, his own son. He sent him actually in the likeness. He was not sinful flesh, but he came in that likeness. He came really, if you could say it in this way, as the first Adam came, perfect. But now this last Adam in reality is perfect and makes us perfect. He says, he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. Why? He came actually for sin. He says, to receive it and condemn it, to bring it to judgment. He says, in the flesh. And we understand that. Christ Jesus, he goes to the cross and he dies for the sin debt of who? Just me? Just the Lutherans? Or did he not condemn it for the world? It's for the world. He died for the sins of the world. So when we turn around and we look at everything going on in our lives and we come out with judgments and hatred and difficulty, it's like, I am not operating in the power of the Spirit. He calls us to stop and to respond rather than react. Our Mona's going to get her exercise today, eh? Every 5 minutes. He says, now he's condemned the sin in the flesh. He says, what purpose? This is the purpose. In order that the righteous requirement of the law may be fulfilled in who? In Jesus? In us. We couldn't do it. We were angry at times. We were lustful at times. We had hatred at times. We've gone through all these processes. And no matter what religious rites we tried to do in the past, no matter what may have taken place in our lives, no matter what monkish antics that we would do, we could never free ourselves from this sin. Because it permeates our flesh. And God knew that. Surprise, surprise, God knew that we were not perfect. So he came to make us perfect. He came to give us an imputed righteousness that is beyond our understanding. He says now, he says, in order that this righteous requirement of the law may be fulfilled in us, he says, who walk not according to the flesh. Stop looking to this. Stop looking to the external. And look to God the Father through Jesus Christ for your redemption, for your hope. This is the beauty of it. Whether or not we understand it at times, whether or not we fully comprehend of it, God has us in the palm of his hands. We are in a good place by the finished work of Christ Jesus. God, in reality, will take care of us and preserve us through all of this that's going on around us. But it doesn't mean that we're not going to go through trials. Doesn't mean that we're not going to go through difficulties. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to have a thorn in our flesh, our difficulty to continue to deal with in this life. But the key of it all is we don't deal with it alone. We don't deal with it alone. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that's why he's speaking to us in this fashion. Where are your eyes? Where is your focus? Is it upon, in reality, the flesh of what you can control? Or is it in the understanding of the power of the Holy Spirit, which God has given you? We need to look closely. He says, this has been fulfilled. It's a fulfilled thing for those who don't walk according to the flesh, but rather by the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh, he said, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. Do you find yourself that way? I do. I find myself there often, and God continually calling me back. Jesse, why are you worried about these things? Why are you concerned for this and this and this? Yes, you can definitely pray about it. You can definitely lift people up. You can still live in the righteous way. You still can be an example. But when it consumes us, where that is our focus. It's kind of interesting if you focus on not getting sick and not getting nauseated because maybe you're taking a trip on an airplane or something. One of the first things that happens is you start to wonder if you're sick. And then next thing you know, you start getting nauseous. I've done it to myself 100 times. And once you get off that plane or you get out of that situation and you start focusing on other things, guess what? It disappears. It disappears. Why do you think of people when they're having a panic attack or anything, people talk to and try to bring them into a different vision? Brothers and sisters in Christ, in the flesh, we are panicking all the time. And the Holy Spirit is calling us to have a different vision, to see things above this. He says, for those who live according to the flesh, they set their things on the mind of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their things on the mind of the Spirit. It's kind of interesting. I'm always amazed, even in my own life, when I turn around and I look at Scripture and I start reading it in the morning or something, or in the evening, and I'm like, wow, I've never seen that before. Wow, this is really speaking to me. And I'm just like blown away by it. Have you ever been there? Anybody? Yeah. Thank you, Mona. Yeah. Why? Because we are minding things of the Spirit. And the Spirit is speaking to us. He's revealing His love. He's revealing His power. He's revealing His supremacy over all of our issues in our life. That's where we find that comfort and that peace. He says, man, when you start focusing on the flesh, you can't get nothing else out of it. He said, but when you start focusing on the Spirit, he says, really, you start to see things open up. He says, for to set the things of the flesh, the mind on the things of flesh is actually death. There is no hope, is really what he's saying. There's no hope beyond this. He says, but now to set your mind on the things of the Spirit is what? Life and peace. Let me ask you a question. In the last 3 months, have you guys lacked any peace? I have. I'll be honest with you. I have. I've lacked peace. Absolutely. When I start looking at to what everything's going on around me, when I start listening to the media nonstop, 24/7, turning on the radio, all this other stuff. I mean, think about it. And I think that's kind of rough because we're on lockdown. A lot of people, they sit in front of their TV all day and they watch the same news and it just gets pounded in their head over and over and over. And I'm telling you, it doesn't bring peace. But I've also been called back to peace. I've been called back to peace when I finally get my mind on different things and I focus on Scripture. I focus on the goodness of God. If I have to, I put in a sermon and I listen to someone encouraging me to give me that peace. See, because God wants us to have peace. Even in our churches, we turn around oftentimes and we greet people with God's peace. Well, that's not just a wish or a hope. It's a truth. We have the peace of God by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have the peace of God through the finished work of Jesus Christ. We have this imputed righteousness, a foreign righteousness being made right before God. That brings peace. It's almost like, you know, you turn around and you invest some money into something and you're like watching it and you're thinking, oh boy, because this is like a majority of my wealth and I'm going to put it in here because I got to just do better because I got to retire someday. And you just focus on it and you start watching it go down, down, down and you start cringing. It doesn't bring peace, does it? But what if the scenario was different? No matter what you did, no matter what you invested in, no matter what happened, you knew that you would always do well. No matter what it was. Well, that's living in Christ. No matter what the world may throw at us, no matter what difficulties may be coming, we have this peace because of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But are we seeing it? Do we focus on it? Are we encouraged in it? He says very plainly, he says, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of Spirit. To set your mind on the flesh is death, but to set your mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh, he says, is hostile. It will not cooperate with God. That's really what this speaks about. It's hostile. It argues. It's defensive. He says, but reality, it does not submit to God's working. And that's what this means. It doesn't see God working in its life. Sometimes I've been there. Lord, I just wish that you would talk to me. Lord, I wish that you would show me. Lord, I wish. And he's like, I do. I do. But you don't listen. You're too full of your own ideas. You're too worried about what's going on around you. You're too worried about what's happening with the next guy. Peter, feed my sheep. I will. Peter, feed my sheep. I will. Peter, feed my lambs. Well, what about that guy over there? What's he gonna do? Peter, I'm talking to you. Don't worry about him. God's talking to you. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to have security. He wants you to understand that your righteousness is set in the blood of Christ, paid on the cross of Golgotha. He wants you to understand that you don't have to fear in this world. Yeah, there may be things that can take your flesh and blood, but they cannot take your spirit. He says, when you set your mind on the things of flesh, you don't hear God, you don't see God, you don't submit to his working. He says, because you just can't. The flesh will never. The flesh will never inherit the kingdom of God. Scripture says it very plainly. He says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I love it because the Gospel of John also says that God is pleased in his Son. God speaks it very vocally. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God is satisfied in Jesus Christ. We are partakers of Jesus Christ. He has gifted himself to us by grace through faith. He is satisfied with us. Why are we striving? You, however, are not in the flesh, but you are in the spirit. This is where he comes back to encourage those, because they are believers that he is speaking to. And I, like I opened up with, I believe that I'm speaking to a group of believers. So really what he's saying is, you're not in the flesh. Why are we worried about the things of the flesh? He says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. He says, and I'm going to say this, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. If you are a believer, if you believe, if you know and understand that God so loved you, he gave you his only begotten Son, that by trusting, by knowing in him, that you will have this eternal life. He says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to him. There is not, you know, many paths that lead to heaven. The only way to God the Father is through Jesus Christ, and Jesus makes that very clear to him. And it's probably not politically correct to say it in this day and age, but it doesn't matter. It is the truth. And so he says very plainly, he says, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him. But if Christ is in you, and this is a great promise, although this body is dead because of what? Sin. Although the body is dead because of sin, he says, you still have life. And this is what Paul is saying earlier. He says, I die to the flesh daily. It is a process that we must go through. But how quick is it to call us back? How quick is it for us to turn around and look for external things to bring us peace, external things to bring us happiness? I don't know if you've ever noticed it or not, man. Sometimes in life, in an earthly sense, we want to get something and we're so fired up about getting it. This thing's going to be awesome. It's going to change my life. It's just the greatest thing. And it's all you can dream about, think about. Anything else in your life, you're just like, this is the important thing. Especially as young adults. Even a new car. We get so excited. This is going to be awesome. Everyone's going to look at me. I'm so cool. Maybe we don't think those things. Say them out loud. It's going to be a nice ride. I need this car. My other one's getting humble. Man, we love that thing. We focus on it. We take the plunge, we buy the car. 3 months later, it's a used car, and we're wondering why we bought it. These earthly things do not bring pleasure. They don't last. They don't last. He says, but you're not focused on this flesh. You're not focused on these things. He says, the body in reality is dead because of sin. We understand that. It's been fallen. He says, but the spirit is life because of righteousness, being made right before God. That's what righteousness is, being made right before God. He says, if the spirit of him, and this is a promise, he says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, remember the Trinity, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he says, he who raised Christ from the dead, he will give you life. See, that's what we're called to. We're called to receive this life of Jesus Christ, and that we would allow that the Spirit would dwell in us, and that we could live more than conquerors. More than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. Don't fear flesh and blood. Don't fear what can rob you of this life. But rather fear that one who can deceive you from this gift. And live victorious over that adversary, understanding God loves you. God forgives you. And he gives you his peace. We are unique individuals. We absolutely are. We are the children of God, blessed by the power of the Holy Spirit, to not react, but rather to stop and respond to what's going on around us. Have love for one another. Have love for those that definitely think differently than us. But above and beyond that, pray. Pray that God will reveal himself not only to us, not only to our families and to our friends, but reveal himself even to those that do not have the Spirit. Because they are hostile towards God. And they need to have their eyes open. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. I'm going to try to do this in the right order this time. Poor Erica, and that must be going nuts because I always do it.